Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. This is the branch president, Columbus, Ohio, Kenneth Hodge, with a special podcast for you tonight. Before we go into this show, I'm going to take a couple of minutes and kind of set the table on what the message I'm trying to bring to the Columbus, Ohio processing plant. First, I want to say that everyone's aware, or everyone should be aware, that I am campaigning for two positions: the branch president of Columbus, Ohio, which encompasses Citygate Processing Plant. I'm also a candidate for the local presidency, which includes all of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. As I like to say, IOK, Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. But tonight's podcast is specifically targeted or aimed or includes, totally encompasses Columbus, Ohio processing and Columbus, Ohio processing plant only. So I wanted to take a few minutes and explain that because I am a candidate for two positions, I want to try and bifurcate these issues. And tonight we're only talking about Columbus, Ohio. Please hold on to that. So I don't want you thinking that I'm attempting to involve your office in my conversation tonight. Columbus, Ohio. Let's talk about Columbus. Everyone knows that we're in campaign season. And during campaign season, a lot of candidates, voice their opinion or raise their hand or desire to be noticed as they politic or campaign for offices. In this case, the branch president office, which I am a candidate in. There's four candidates in Columbus, Ohio. My platform that I campaign on is 180 degrees new direction. That's the platform. And when I say the platform, that is the base from which we speak, we talk. And that base, the mission statement for that base is, I want to free up the voice of the mail handler. I want your concerns to be heard and to be echoed until they are addressed and hopefully resolved. And understanding the platform that I operate from, I'm a firm believer that in a union environment, it is important that the president and the stewards are proactive constantly when it comes to union violations and things of that nature. In other words, what I'm saying is, under Kenneth Hodge's administration or under my leadership, my stewards are encouraged that they should always file more grievances than the member. I want that member to relax knowing that the union is in a overwatch position to ensure contract compliance by postal management. So again, understand that it is important to me that if my union stewards see a violation, it matters not to me that the member files the grievance. It is imperative that steward files the grievance. You see, a lot of times in offices, employees become frazzled, intimidated, for lack of a a softer word. When it comes to filing against management, speaking out against situations that are not correct, and in a lot of cases, speaking out against their peers. But under Ken Hodge, in 180-degree new direction, see, my officers and my stewards are trained, and we practice you filing the grievance for the member, you speaking up for the member, because I believe that is a vital part of union representation. And I guess some of that lesson kind of eked through to some of my members. And when I say eke through, I make I don't hold my tongue at all when I inform the local of the unprofessional manner in which the current local president made a conscious decision over 2.5 years ago to treat me in this unprofessional manner and has never backed off of it. And just like when you have the president of the United States telling people, or not telling people, but freeing up a certain point of view, then the nation can get behind that. In this case, the local president made it painfully obvious that he didn't want Ken Hodge a part of this union. And he encouraged, yes, he encouraged other members to join his little campaign. Again, I'm setting up for what it is I'm about to tell you or about to discuss with you. So certain stewards made pledges, I guess took a silent oath or something, that they're going to support that corrupt treatment. But anyway, if you make that deal, then, you know, you've got a one up on the local president. He just can't handle you any kind of way because you know something that he don't want you to tell anyone else. Hold on, because, yes, I'm talking about your current local president. Here we go. The other day, an employee approached me and asked me a question. And the question was, hey, Mr. Hodge, or hey, Ken, how come I cannot get in the union office at night? Now, you got to keep in mind, Kenny Hodge works toward 8:30 to 5. So what goes on in that union office at anytime, excuse me, at 5:05 until 8:25 the next morning, if members don't seek me out and inform me or tell me, there is no way for me to know that. But nonetheless, this employee was very concerned that on more than 5 or 6 occasions, she once goes to the union office, and first, we can't get in the office. Second, if we can get in the office, now what I'm about to say, it don't make a lot of sense to non-union people, but if the mail handler can get into the mail handler union office, it appears to be inundated with clerks inside the mail handler union office. Now, the only two people you have in the union office that time of night is just your tour one stewards. Now, I'm going to give you fact, and then I'm going to give you hearsay. Fact, you have two stewards at night that are mail handler stewards, and it appears that entertaining is more important than negotiating or contract compliance. Entertaining takes a front seat. It also appears that I cannot imagine, I'm sorry, don't appear, but I cannot imagine why the National Postal Mail Handlers Union office would entertain clerks, American Postal Workers Union, inside the union office to the detriment of mail handlers coming in to conduct mail handler business. And I'm going to tell the story. You understand what it is I'm really saying. Yeah, I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to relay the story. So after that employee spoke to me about that, I said to the employee, listen, if what you're telling me is what I think you're telling me, and it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out what we're talking about here, then can you come on the podcast and you tell your story to Columbus Mail Handlers? And we had a show arranged today, and then it just so happens that they were asked to come in to work today. So I'm going to convey the story because, see, one of the, I like to say, key aspects of Ken Hodge 180 Degree, I will fight for the member. Sometimes I fight for the member when the member won't really fight for themselves. But if I understand it is a concern to you, then all you have to do is bring it to me as your branch president or your local president, and we are going to address it. So here's what I did. I began to ask people on the floor, and when I say people, I'm not going to mention any names, but I will guarantee you, for those of you who think I like to fabricate from time to time, you talk to any member in Columbus, Ohio, who's in that building on tour one, and I'm almost certain what I'm about to tell you, they will repeat. So there's two stewards in the building at that time. So if you got two stewards in the building and the union office is full of clerks all the time, what do you think is happening? And why is it happening? Why are clerks in the union offices, in the mail handler union office, instead of mail handlers? The story gets better. The mail handler who has alerted me to this situation also informed me that I am like the seventh or eighth option when it comes to people who she's told about this, which I want you to understand, folks. When you have union officials who is aware that something is not right, for all of them to keep a silent voice, I have to ask a gut check. We got to take a gut check on that. And it really kind of angers me that you know for a fact, and let me tell you something, I've spoken to people who are more than one person who will verify that, yes, this is happening. They go in the union office and all of this is taking place, where sometimes they even have to ask that, hey, can you send your company away for a while? This is not their break area. But like I said, I won't mention names. But if you are really interested in what it is I'm saying, just talk to any member in Columbus, Ohio, and they gave me the information, so I'm sure they will validate the same information with you. Now, the mail handler also tells me one time she came in the union office, and there was a clerk in the union office sleeping. Yes, I said it correct. Clerk in the union office sleeping. She approached the tall one chief steward, I think that's the title they give the individual, and instead of addressing the issue, he spent an enormous amount of time trying to convince that member that she did not see a clerk in there sleeping. They were talking about a case. Yes, I'm going to say that again. The member spoke to the tall one chief steward, and the tall one chief steward denied the individual in the office sleeping and tried to convince the member that she did not see a clerk in their sleep or a person in their sleep. They were in there working on a case. Now, one might ask the question, what case could a clerk and the mail handlers probably working on together at that level. Now, they keep me out of the loop. So maybe some new things have come about, or maybe it's just some of that buffoonery. So let's continue our story and why it is I think it's important that I even podcast this story. Well, everybody in this story, and particularly the tour one, he didn't mention names, so I won't either. Your tour one chief steward, in fact, your tour one union staff. Your tour one union staff, for whatever reason, based on reports given to me, have I ever seen this with my own two eyes? No, I have not. But I believe the reports that are given. What happens on tour one is I think that your union office is now considered a swing room or an extra cafeteria or an extra break room for all unions, all for different unions to meet there, congregate, and just chill out. And if mail handlers want to take care of union business, they need to take a side seat or they need to take a number and wait till the entertaining is done, and then they can come in and maybe have time to do union business. This is why I bring this to the branch tonight. The 12-1 chief steward wants to be your branch president. I'm going to say this to you. If because you're on tour one at night and you have pretty much no overwatch there, if this is how you run a tour, what would make you think that you should be allowed to run a branch? I'm just asking the question. Because that seems to be, I read your bio or I read your campaign literature, and that seemed to be very important to you. But now, instead of taking care of union business, you run an entertainment shop at night, but you want to talk about your integrity? Huh? Is that what we're talking about? So, to the membership, I say to you, why would you allow that? Why would you allow your union office to be turned into an entertainment room? And let me tell you something about Ken Hodge when he was in office, or when he was allowed to do the job you elected him to do. See, doors weren't even locked. And if you remember back when I first came in office, if there's a union steward in the office, there's no need to lock the door. Members have free access to there. And if a member came in and you were working with the member, you simply told that member, give me a few minutes, I'll get back with you. Why did we want the doors unlocked? Why did I insist the doors be unlocked? Because there was the image floating around the plant that union reps were in the steward's office, the union office, watching movies, downloading videos. And I wanted no part of that when I became branch president. Sure, it caused a little heartache with a lot of the staff. But if you think about it, there is no argument that you're going to give me that will make me change my mind that if there is a union rep in the union office, then that door should be unlocked so that members can come and go. Now, if you disagree with that, then you disagree with a big part of my philosophy. But here's what really kind of made me feel compelled to tell this story. There is nothing that's going to be done about it for a variety of reasons. And the reasons start with your current local president. In fact, let's take it in reverse order. The reason nothing is going to be done about this is because the two individuals on tour one, the tour one union representation, well, both of them happened to be together when one of your tour one union representatives invited me or asked me when was the last time I been to a lynching. Yeah, I said it, a lynching. The other union representative was there and heard what was said, but perjured himself on a statement and said he didn't hear it. And let me tell you why I bring that back up. Because, again, you got two union reps together. One asked me, when's the last time I've been to a lynching? I reported to postal management and to the union. So the only witness is another union steward. So, again, he alleged he didn't hear what was said, and I know he did. So what that does is that cements a bond between the steward who lied and said he didn't hear that racist comment that was wielded at me. It cemented an understanding between the two of them that no matter what I do, you can't do anything or say anything to me because I just saved your job. Because if that steward had integrity and told the truth about what he heard, that insightful statement, again, I was going to try to push that as far as I could possibly push it. But since the steward told us a lie and said he didn't hear that, then, okay, it was three of us. One said it, one reported it, and the other said he didn't hear it. But see, that's the initial bond. So the initial bond of this nonsense is that the one of the union officials who lied for the other cemented a bond between the two of them. And then it gets deeper because the chief steward now, you're not really worried about the current local president doing anything to you because you did dirt for the current local president. You resigned your position as a steward because you didn't want to represent members. Let's call it like it is. And instead of the local president having an issue with that, not only did he bring you back to the Columbus Union, but he brought you back with a little bit of a title. And that title being chief steward. And I say a little bit of a title because most people don't even understand that the chief steward by constitution in our bylaws only denotes that there's more than one steward. I know the fact that we call it chief steward, one would think that it's the senior, most knowledgeable steward. But no, chief steward only denotes that there's more than one steward. So the local president brought you back with the chief steward title, knowing that you resigned your position because you didn't want to represent a mail handler. While you're not even a steward, you arranged in the local president. Again, you quit because you don't want to represent mail handlers, but the local president arranges for you to have advocate training. Come on, local 304, see through this story. So the reason I'm podcasting tonight is because I want local 304 to understand that when you start, oh, what a tangled web we weave. I've got a local president who can't correct or adjust a chief steward because of some dealings they had, that if you correct that chief steward and he begins to tell what it is you had him do for you, now you have a problem. I have a chief steward who can't correct a steward because if you correct the steward and he don't like the way you corrected him because of what he did for you, you have a problem. So I say to Columbus Branch, it's probably going to go on until after the election, and this is where you make your voice heard. Now, and I say, if you are okay with this, then by all means, you should support it. If you're okay with it. But if you're not okay with this type of nonsense going on in your union office and part of the individuals that are chiefly responsible for this nonsense now wants to move up to a higher position If you're okay with that, Columbus, Ohio, then you go right ahead and you vote that right into office. But if you are like myself, or you are like I, or we're the same, and we understand that the purpose and the function of a union is to ensure contract compliance amongst or above everything else, then you'll take that ballot and you will check Kenneth Hodge, and then you'll mail that ballot back in when it lends itself or pertains to the branch president. You will take that same ballot and check Kenneth Hodge when it pertains to the local president. And let me say this to you. I can and will be dedicated to both positions. This is not the first time an individual has held the branch president and the local president position. So it's not new frontier. I say to you, Columbus, Ohio, I really, really desperately need your support as I campaign for this local president position. And when I say local president, that is the position that's currently held by Bip McLemore. That's the position that we need to vote him out of and vote me into. But when it comes to the branch office, in addition to running the local, I will be a more than adequate branch president for you as well. Again, I make no bones about what it is I truly desire, and I truly desire to be your local president. That is the president over Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. But I've been asked by more than a few members to return as your branch president, and I want you to know I am more than willing, able, and capable to do that. You have union stewards amongst you interested in additional union leadership, and they were aware of this nonsense going on, and believe me when I tell you, all of them, 90% of them were aware or heard allegations, but did no investigation to resolve it. So it came to who else? Ken Hodge. You know why? And I'm sorry, I'm going to get on my soapbox here just for a second. They brought it to me because the members in Columbus, Ohio know, if nothing else, I'm going to address it and try to get a resolve to it. And I appreciate that you've had that kind of confidence in me. As I said to you earlier, it might have been earlier in this show or earlier in one of my other podcasts. If you have an issue, who do you really want in that room with you for the PDI? Who do you really want in that room with you to make sure that the discipline is argued properly? If who you really want in that room with you is me, then I urge you to vote Kenneth Hodge wherever you see my name on the ballot for union representation. That's the ballots that will be mailed out November 15th. But I'm going to, again, bring this back to a close where I started talking to Columbus, Ohio. Columbus, Ohio, please hear what it is I'm saying. If you're interested, investigate what it is I'm saying. In fact, most of you that work at night, you already know what I'm saying. And again, if that's what you want from your union, then vote that back into office. But if it's not, my name is Kenneth Hodge, and I am offering you another solution. Let's have a wonderful evening. I apologize. No, I don't. I don't apologize for taking up your time tonight. I'm glad that you took the opportunity and listened to this podcast. If it makes sense, let's go with it. Let's roll with it, and let's stand together to make a change. As I said earlier, my name is Kenneth Hodge, and I am here to offer Columbus, Ohio, the same solution I offered you 3 years ago. But this time, if I am in both positions, I can then dedicate myself to you and give you the leadership and guidance as a union representative that you deserve. Vote Kenneth Hodge, local president, William Kirkland, vice president, local 304 in Columbus, Ohio. Again, I would be honored to be your branch president for three more years. Have a nice evening, everyone.